I'm going to ask Charlie Monroe to step up here and let him speak to us for a few minutes. And Charlie, do you want me to give a little introduction of why you're here or not? Or did you want to do that?
It works, I think, for me to do that.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to, most all of you know Charlie very well. And so, and if you don't, I believe he's going to, you'll know him when he's done. So I'm just gonna give him the microphone here.
Well, I want to say many of you have been so good to pray for my family, but especially my daughter Rachel, who lost her two children and her mother in the same day. Rachel's husband, you may remember, is Jewish, a secular Jew, and they live in Jericho, New York. Jericho is said to be one of the most highly concentrated Jewish communities in the United States. A few days after Rachel's children drowned, she said, "Dad, you know, raising children, and the children were, the daughter was 3.5 years old and the son was 1.5 years. She said, raising Reagan and Jax in this community where we live, there's no guarantee, nor is there for anywhere in the world, but there's no guarantee, especially where there's so much confusion about who God is, there's no guarantee that my children wouldn't grow to reject God." And so she says, "Suppose I, Rachel, live 40 to 45 more years, I'd much rather spend eternity with my children than the next 40 to 45 years." And that eternal perspective has allowed her to move on with her life. Prior to the accident, Rachel had built a lot of relationships with Jewish women. And although they knew she was different, perhaps they were saying, well, that's just because she grew up in the South or because she had a Chattanooga accent or whatever it was. But although she is different, and they had noticed that, she had really never shared her faith. And so after the accident, almost all these women individually came to her and said, "Rachel, how can you be so strong?" And then they eventually say, "Tell me about your religion." To which she would reply, "Well, I'm really not much on religion, but I'd love to tell you about my relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus." Brian, her husband, had struggled. He has really struggled through those months. And sometimes it was very difficult for him to even get out of bed, as you can imagine. But some of you Facebook followers also know, and others, that 5 months ago, God gave them a great gift as Rachel gave birth to a big boy, Bowden, and so thankful for him. And Bo has brought life back into their home. So a lot of joy and the crying and the laughter and everything has filled a quiet house. Myra and I visited them in New York about 4 weeks ago, and then Rachel and Bo visited us last weekend and stayed with us. So we've had a pretty good bit of bow time here lately, and it's been really, really good. Yes, our God is hope. Our God is healer. Our God is restorer. Our God is rebuilder. And this has been a restorative, rebuilding year, and we thank God for that. But what I'd like to share with you today especially is what Rachel spoke recently to about 50 Jewish people, families and friends. It's a Jewish custom not to have a tombstone or a gravestone at the grave. So at the grave of the children until a year, at least a year, after the death. And so several months back, they had a unveiling of that tombstone. And what I'd like to read to you is what Rachel spoke there to that group of mostly secular Jews, and this is what she had to say to them. Many of the sentiments I expressed today were expressed by my wise friend Megan and her husband, who lost their almost two-year-old son to cancer in May of 2014. They put into words how I face each day. I hope that my words do not offend anyone. They are only meant, merely meant, to let you see my heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14 says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. All of you know that I do not visit the cemetery," Rachel continues. "It provides me no comfort. My children are not here, and it is that belief that makes a life filled with faith, hope, and joy possible for me. I don't think Reagan and Jax's lives have ended at all. When I mourn for those of us here, not for them. I know that God is faithful to hold them in his arms." Surprisingly today, she continues there at the grave, "surprisingly today is a good day. I'm able to grieve with hope, and hope changes everything. It doesn't mean that there won't be tears, but they will be a different kind of tears. By purposefully looking forward, I have experienced a type of comfort I did not expect. I am reminded that God is not finished with my story yet. And today, rather than feeling like I'm a little over a year further removed from Reagan and Jax, I realize I'm a little over a year closer to seeing them again in heaven. Psalm 62, 5 and 6 says, 'Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.' Because of God's faithfulness to me, he has blessed me with each of you here, and I know that life will not be easy, but when I am weary, I look to the rock that is higher than I," as she concludes. You know, Myra and I both have experienced shocking, life-altering tragedies in our lives. And so we've talked about this a good bit. Most every single person in here has gone through some great pain or tragedy in your life, or some difficult situation. Either you have, or you are, or you will. No one's really immune from that. And you cannot measure one tragedy or someone's pain against another's. Each is so very real to each person. Each person's pain is real to them. And God does not waste pain. God will redeem our pain if we ask him to. And with that painful tragedy or hardship comes a fork in the road in life, and you have to choose which fork. One path leads to anger, blame, bitterness, resentment, and even anger towards God. And when we choose that path, it can only bring self-destructive things. It leads to a downward spiral that's never ending. Anger and bitterness and unforgiveness are like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. The other choice is to allow God to redeem our pain. And he could do that in softening those hardened places in our hearts if we allow it. And he can realign our thinking. He can redeem our pain through helping us to realign our thinking with his thinking, with his heart, the heart of God. Our pain can be redeemed by focusing on the needs of others and by allowing that pain to be used for eternal significance in the lives of others. Please pray that God will continue to use the pain in Rachel's life and all of our lives for his glory, for our good, and for the good of others. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, I can tell he wanted off the stage, so I'll let him escape. I met with Charlie earlier in the week, and he had read that to me, and so I knew kind of what he was talking about. And as I thought about it, I thought of this passage in Acts where Peter and John had healed a lame man and had been persecuted, where the religious leaders had tried to stop the message of Christ, and they were offended at the message of Christ being put out there, and so they had arrested them. And then this passage comes as they are speaking with them in kind of the trial area. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." And when I read those words, again, I think we just see God's word being fulfilled again in Rachel's life. And we see that being fulfilled over and over, because this is the pattern of how God works. Rachel is not a seminary graduate, just like Grace. She, at this point right now, has not been trained to be a religious minister. And yet, she knows God in a way that you can't learn from a book. And boldly and unashamedly, she shares what is in her heart and what God has done for her. She is ready to give an answer for the hope that is in her. And her hope is in Christ. And seeing her, where her heart has been healed. And that doesn't mean that she still doesn't grieve. It doesn't mean that she still doesn't have pain. But it means that she has been able to see things in the context of God and realize that he is good. And her children are not in that grave. Her children are still fulfilling the plan that God has for them in a place that we can't imagine yet. And God also still has a plan for her. Because those who grieve without hope, all they have are the things of this world. All they have are the relationships of this world. All they have is what we have here and cannot see what God can do beyond. And so they grieve and they hurt and they are consumed and they are captivated by their loss. But God is not a God of loss. He is a God of redemption. He is a God of building. He is a God who has plans and a future for you that are good. And his plan for us never stops. We may not understand why some of it includes some of what it does. But God knows what we need. And God is working all things together for the good of those who love him. And God will see them through. And through this, Rachel's relationship with God was not crushed. Really, it was awakened. It was strengthened. It was matured. She relied upon and depended upon and had to seek and find God in ways that she had never even imagined he could be there for her. But now she knows he can. Now she knows him in a much more intimate way than she ever would. And looking at her, you see something different. And what's different is Christ. It is Christ in her life. And to me, it's an amazing thing, Charlie. And I saw it when I went down there. They recognize, people without Christ recognized that Rachel had something in her heart that all of us want. And God's got a plan for us. And that plan continues. And though we may not at times be able to understand how this could be good, and it may not have been intended for good, and it may be the result of a sinful world. I mean, God didn't create this world with cancer. You know, God didn't create this world with the intention that there would be cruel people that we would have to fight wars with, or criminals who might do abusive things to us. That was not what God created this world for, but that evil cannot overcome what God is going to do with his children. He will see them through it. And most of you know that God has his protective hand around us. And when he allows something in, we may not understand why, but there are purposes that later on we will be able to see that God is still at work and God is still good. And Rachel's children are gone from this earth, but they are not gone. They are more alive than they've ever been. And that brings her great comfort. And I know, Charlie, it brings you great comfort. And many of you in this room have experienced the same type of struggles and loss. And some of you are in those struggles. And it brings us great comfort to know God is with us. And through all that time, Charlie, you're constantly are putting up those scripture verses that God speaks to you through. Because it is the power of his word, him speaking and that word becoming alive in our life, that we realize that he is there for us. And he can do miraculous things. And you can't argue with the fact that a heart is free. You can't argue the fact that a heart in the midst of difficult times can find peace and joy. That is the presence of God. And God cares about us. And just like they might not have been ready for a new life, God knew what they needed. It's not been very long, and God has given them another child. And that's a wonderful blessing, and God can use that to bring great healing. Charlie, yourself, and I look at you and Myra, and both of you have spent your lives like this, boldly and unashamedly standing for Christ, reaching out for others and trying to help them in all kinds of different ways. And both of you experienced some difficulty that's hard to understand, and yet God knew what you needed, not just to be able to bring the joy in your life to counter and allow you to handle the grieving, but because he has a plan that goes beyond any event in your life. And God's plan doesn't stop, it continues. And it continues to be better and better and better and better. And when God lets something in our lives, it's not to knock us down and it's not to destroy us. But he uses whatever challenges and mountains we climb to strengthen us. And through those things, just look at how many opportunities that Rachel has been able to share the mystery of God's presence with someone. What will come from those seeds? We don't know, but it is God at work. And God desires to have that type of relationship with us just like this. When we are hurting and when we go through the biggest struggles of life is when God can be the closest to us. And he wants to redeem. And he will protect our hearts. You know, Jesus, I was going to read a sermon, but I'm not going to. But the scripture I was going to read was from where Jesus prays that God will protect us. Because he protected us while he's here, and now he's gone. And he wants us not to be taken out of this world. Even though we're not of the world, he wants us in the world. But he prays that God will protect us from what? From the evil one. He doesn't pray that God will protect us from circumstances. He doesn't pray that God will protect us from cancer. He doesn't pray that God will protect us from criminals. He doesn't pray that God will protect us from people who gossip about us or people who hurt us or the economy. He doesn't pray that God will protect us from anything on this earth because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Our battle is with the evil one that wants to distract us from being connected with God. He wants to rob us from the joy of a relationship with Christ. He wants to rob us of hope. He wants to fill us with fear. He wants us to be depressed, overcome, and to give up. And Jesus prays that God will protect us from the evil one. And he gives us that Holy Spirit. And when we turn to God and when we turn to his word, he speaks to us, doesn't he? And we may not understand everything that's happening, but we understand this. God is with us. And no one can separate us from his love. And God has a plan for us. And no one can stop that plan from happening. We just have to grab a hold and keep walking towards God and trust him. And as we obey, he shows himself strong through our obedience. He heals us, he redeems us, and he does far more than we could ever stop to ask, think, or imagine. Because God is greater than he that is in the world. And he is the overcomer of all circumstances.